Jaya Radha Madhagoma Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhagoma Kunja Bihari Vikatoria, Othutera, Sitashi, Shimad. His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananad, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Marjala Prabhupad Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupad Kijai, Ananda Goti, Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Huridas Thakur Kijai, Prem Se, Gahoshi Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopita Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Vachuradam Kijai Navadiptam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Dev Kijai Salveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaura Premananda Hare Hare Gopi All glories, he assembled the devotees. All glories, he assembled the devotees. All glories, he assembled the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, I'd like to welcome the devotees who are joining us from all over. Krishna Priya from the United States. That's Jalpa Patel. Rishesvari. Very nice. Angelina and Madhudeo so far. Anyway, we got seven people watching. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, what verse? Do you know what verse?
Questions by Parikshit Maharaj.
Questions by Parikshit Maharaj. Those are the wrong. What verse? The beginning of the chapter?
Beginning.
Okay. Chapter 8, second canto, text 1, and it's entitled Questions by Parikshit Maharaj. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Do you have it up there, the verse, or no?
No.
No, okay. So I'll just read the verse three times. Raju vacha brahmana charita brahman gunakyane gunasya yasmai yasmai yata praha nanado deva darshanaha Raju vacha brahmana charita brahman gunakyane gunasya yasmai yasmai yata praha Narado Deva Darshanaha Rajavacha Brahmana Chodito Brahman Gunakyane Gunashacha Yasmai Yata Praha Narado Deva Darshanaha. She can repeat. Raja, the king. Uvacha, inquired. Brahmana, by Lord Brahma. Choditaha, being instructed. Brahman, O learned Brahmana. Shukadeva Goswami. Guna Akyane, in narrating the transcendental qualities. Agunasha, of the Lord, who is without material qualities. Cha, and. Yasmai, and whom? Yata, as much as. Praha, explained. Naradaha, Narada Muni. Devadarshanaha, one whose audience is as good as that of any demigod. Translation. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, how did Narada Muni, whose hearers are as fortunate as those instructed by Lord Brahma, explain the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is without material qualities, and before whom did he speak? So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Devarshi Narada was directly instructed by Brahmāji, who was also directly instructed by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the instructions imparted by Narada to his various disciples are as good as those of the Supreme Lord. That is the way of understanding Vedic knowledge. It comes down from the Lord by disciplic succession. And this transcendental knowledge is distributed to the world by this descending process. There is no chance, however, to receive the Vedic knowledge from mental speculators. Therefore, wherever Narada Muni goes, he represents himself as authorized by the Lord, and his appearance is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the disciplic succession, which strictly follows the transcendental instruction, is the bona fide chain of disciplic succession, and the test for such bona fide spiritual masters is that there should be no difference between the instruction of the Lord originally imparted to his devotee and that which is imparted by the authority in the line of disciplic succession. How Narada Muni distributed the transcendental knowledge of the Lord will be explained in later cantos. It will appear also that the Lord existed prior to the material creation, and therefore his transcendental name, quality, etc., do not represent any material quality. Whenever, therefore, the Lord is described as aguna, or without any quality, it does not mean that he has no quality, but that he has no material quality, such as the modes of goodness, passion, or ignorance, as the conditioned souls have. He is transcendental to all material conceptions, and thus he is described as aguna. So Rajavacha Brahmana Chodita Brahman Gunakyane Gunashacha Yasmai Yata Praha Narado Deva Darshanaha. So Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shiva Namaha. So here, the importance of disciplic succession is being mentioned by King Yudhisthira, and Srila Prabhupada is commenting on that. And not only insofar as instructions, but also, perhaps even more important, is mantras. There's this interesting verse, Sampradaya Bihinaya Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha, that if one gets a mantra and it's not in disciplic succession, then has no effect. Of course, at the same time, if it has the names of God, then at least it's namabash for people. But as far as bringing people to the highest platform, you know, Krishna prema, it doesn't have any effect. Just like the devotees, I just got an email this morning asking me, you know, did Prabhupada chant, you know, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram? You know, and the devotee was thinking that Prabhupada didn't chant it, therefore he should not chant it. And I looked it up in the Veda base, and Prabhupada did chant it. He was instructing the devotees how to chant Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Even though the song was, let's say it's a later mantra. It's not actually in the Vedic literature, so... it's not even in the Valmiki Ramayana, but it's later. But because Prabhupada chanted it, it has the same conclusion. It's not what we call rasabhas. Rasabhas means that an immature person may write something to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but then they'll have conflicting rasas there. That means something that's not tasty. I mean, for example, let's say you put salt in the sweet rice. Or sometimes people do that. Brings out the taste. Anyway, let's give me another. I'll give you another example. Because sometimes salt, actually, a little bit of salt brings out a sweet taste. So I'm going to give you a better example. Once upon a time, and I just met the lady who did this. Once upon a time, Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and he was taking the Charanamrita. And the lady had put salt in the Charanamrita instead of sugar. And so Prabhupada took it. Anyway, who has done this? And the lady, basically she just giggled, I think, or something, I guess. And anyway, a nice lady, I just met her. She's it's the mother of Mayapur Chandra. I just met her in Hawaii. Very nice lady. So anyway, that's called rasabhas, you know, when you have conflicting tastes. Like if someone doesn't know how to cook, and then they add these different spices that really can't combine together, it's just like, ooh, like that. And therefore, a good cook is called a rasacharya. That means he knows the different tastes. You understand what I mean? So, Vaishnavas, the point I'm making is Vaishnavas can definitely write poems, either in Sanskrit or in English. We're talking about this right now with presenting Krishna consciousness in the Western world. How to present Krishna consciousness in the Western world. So, you know, people come to our temples, and there's so many Sanskrit words, it's just like they think they've gone to Mars. Isn't it? You know, you go, Prabhu. What's a Prabhu? Mother. I'm not a mother. Anyway. You know, some young girl, 18-year-old girl, Western girl, comes in and says, oh, mother, please sit down. It really drives them crazy. Mother. Oh, my God. That actually, especially in Kali Yuga, the women want to be like men anyway, so... So they'd rather be called, hey guy, you know. Sometimes the ladies even say, we're all the guys here, you know. Anyway, so the point is, in preaching Krishna consciousness, you have to adapt things according to time, place, and circumstance. I mean, words change in different languages, and language changes as time goes on. For example, like if we had to speak in Shakespearean English, nobody would understand us. And that's just a few hundred years ago. So, therefore, devotees do have that prerogative. Like you see, I mean, like Narottama Das Thakur, for example. He's writing all these wonderful songs, and many of which we chant. You know, Shiguru, Charana Padma, Kevalava, Kantisama. And these are not songs coming down in a cyclic succession, which is interesting. I mean, you won't read in the Vedas or the Bhagavatam, Shiguru Charana Padma, or the song by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Guru Vashika that we chant in the morning, isn't it? Samsara Dhavananda. You're not going to read that. Yet Prabhupada said these verses are as good as Vedic mantras. Why? Because they're done by pure devotees, and the pure devotee is not changing things, especially what I mentioned, which is this rasabhas. Not only rasabhas, but not introducing any impersonalism. For example, there was a poet who approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanted to recite his poet to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just wanted to be careful what he heard. Maybe we can take the batteries out of there or something. But he wanted to be careful what he heard, so he had Swarup Damodar Goswami review all poetry or all writing before he actually personally heard it. And so therefore, one poet came and he described Lord Jagannath as being made of wood. You know, and that's actually against our philosophy. Because one who sees the deity being made of metal or wood, or sees the spiritual master as an ordinary person, according to the Bhagavatam, he's a possessed of hellish intelligence. So in other words, there was some impersonalism there. Or blasphemy of the deities, basically. So the point is, as long as one sticks to the message, the pure message, one can put words, make his own words up to glorify the Supreme Personality of God. And that's as good as Vedic mantras. I mean, Prabhupada wrote poems. You know, oftentimes I recite or make reference to Prabhupada's poem, like the Vrindavan Bhajan. You've heard me say that. And other poems, like when Prabhupada came to America. And these are Vedic mantras because they're following the Vedic conclusion. So that's what it means to take things in disciplined succession. So one has to be very careful in denying that something is bona fide just because it's not in the Vedas. And actually the words of the pure devotees have within them the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Lord. In one sense, you can even say they're more powerful than the Vedic literatures. When Shukadeva Goswami speaks, I mean, this is our disciplined succession. When Shukadeva Goswami speaks, he's not just repeating what he heard, but he's putting in his own words. And this is just as good as the Vedic literatures. So when a pure devotee speaks, it's like that. A pure devotee elaborates, like Prabhupada's purports here. Prabhupada's purports are not word for word in the Vedic literatures, but it's the same siddhanta, the same conclusion. So in other words, the knowledge should not be lost, the conclusion should not be lost, and one has to be very careful of rasabhas. And then it has the same potency. However, one has to be very careful. Like Prabhupada at one point said that poems should only be written by pure devotees. Because one has to be very, very careful, or else the disciplic succession gets broken. And that can happen very, very easily. For example, Krishna talks in the Bhagavad Gita, the famous verse, you know, Evam Param Pratam. That this knowledge was passed down, you know, Vivaswan, he spoke to Vivaswan, and Vivaswan spoke to Manu, Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. But then he says that this knowledge was lost because the disciplic succession was broken. So one has to be very careful about breaking that connection. One has to be very careful about taking information that doesn't come down in the disciplic succession, or mantras from those who are not in the disciplic succession. That's why, you know, when I talk about the Ramayana, I talk about the Valmiki Ramayana, which Prabhupada accepted. Even though Prabhupada didn't give me all the information of the Valmiki Ramayana, he accepted the Valmiki Ramayana as being bona fide. And even though Prabhupada didn't give us all didn't repeat all the Goswami's literatures, I accept the information of the Goswami's literatures. And therefore, I read the Goswami's literatures. However, in the beginning, we should concentrate on Prabhupada's books and read them like 100 times before we go out to other literatures. So we understand and we can see the Vedic literatures through the lens of Srila Prabhupada, which is really important. Otherwise, it's called Maryada Vyatikrama. That means violating the etiquette, you know, stepping over the head of the spiritual master. That's why in the beginning Prabhupada told the devotees, you know, just read his books. You know, don't read the books of the acharyas. But then Prabhupada also makes some reference that the devotees should translate, should read the books of the previous acharyas. And of course, we have a musical accompaniment in class. This is nursery school. Kindergarten nursery school. So anyway, so maybe during class the batteries could stay out. So Prabhupada really wanted us to understand his books, and that's what it means to be loyal to Prabhupada. Not that we only hear from Prabhupada, but we hear from those who were loyal to Prabhupada, and then we understand the previous acharya's instructions in relationship to Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you know, if you go around and you pick and choose what the previous acharyas have instructed, it can be very, very confusing. Like even how to, you know, follow Ram Nomi or follow any of these different holidays. It can be extremely confusing because you'll have different opinions. And of course, different opinions may be all bona fide according to their particular time, place, and circumstance. But Prabhupada has adapted the presentation of Krishna consciousness, you know, actually made it very simple for the simple people in Kali Yuga. Like he adapted the number of rounds. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted his disciples, at least those who weren't preaching, to chant 64 rounds a day. So Prabhupada adapted all that. So we actually stick with Prabhupada's adaptation or presentation, and then we know we're on the safe and secure ground of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so this is just what I want to say about the disciplic succession. Disciplic succession is very important, because if one's not connected, there's no spiritual life. You get namabhas, like I mentioned in the beginning. But if you want, and then part of disciplic succession is taking initiation. You know, people say nowadays, you have all these people go around doing programs in the temple who have not taken initiation from Prabhupada. You know, there's many of the, not to criticize any of them, I'm sure they're all great personalities, but many of the people like the superstar kirtan leaders, they may not be following Prabhupada or having taken initiation. And they do big programs, and it really deviates the devotees, not that they're deviating, you know, not criticize anyone, yeah, but it gives the impression that, you know, you're taking people away from Prabhupada's instructions and what's necessary in order to be Krishna conscious. Because basically, if someone's going to sit and lead a program in the temple room, they should be initiated following the practices and principles of Krishna consciousness, and at least have the appearance that Srila Prabhupada wanted. You know, no beards, for example. You know, just like things have become very, very loose.
Yep.
You've noticed that. Yep. Very, very loose, and it's not. You know, if Prabhupada was around, Prabhupada would stop that.
Yep.
You know, Prabhupada would want to stick to a very strict standard in the temple. Now, if you're doing preaching programs on the outside, it's a different thing. I mean, when I was with Prabhupada one time, he had someone play bass guitar, but it wasn't in the temple. You know, just like I play guitar, but I don't lead kirtan playing a guitar. I don't chant, you know, the Gaurarti playing the guitar in the temple. I'll do it in someone's home, but not in the temple. So there has to be an understanding, not only the philosophy, not only the mantras, but the particular methodology of presenting Krishna consciousness and the structure of the Krishna consciousness movement and the rituals in the temple that connect us with Prabhupada. Otherwise, things will tend to get looser and looser and looser. And eventually, you won't be able to recognize things after some generations. I mean, we've been talking about that at some of the GBC meetings, how if you go through the different generations, things, you lose more. You know, you may have Prabhupada's books, obviously, with the instructions, but you won't know the application. You won't know the application, the situation, the intention. You lose the intention actually first.
It will become similar to what these Raman Mandis are doing. They're holding whatever it has been said. And nobody does research and read, but they just follow whatever is happening in the community, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they'll read Prabhupada's books, but they won't understand the application or the intention. Intention is actually the first thing you lost.
Wow.
Because if you go through Prabhupada's things, sometimes you'll find contradictory instructions. because of different situations. So it's important to understand the intention. So what we discuss insofar as succession in our movement is how to maintain that understanding of Prabhupada's intention over multi-generations. And actually there was a whole chart, like after one generation, this is lost, two generations, this is lost, three generations, and four generations. And so, because out of thousands of religious organizations that start, basically very few, maybe one out of a thousand, makes it through fourth or fifth generation. And so now, you know, we're just on the second generation, Prabhupada's first generation. So we're second generation. I mean, I'm second generation. You're third generation. The kids are fourth. That, you know, so it's a real challenge how to keep that going. But especially what we do, what I do, what my generation does, will really set the mood for the rest of the generations. And if we allow things to go on, become very, very loose, and deviate from Prabhupada's intention, instruction, arrangement, then everything, all hell is going to break loose after three or four generations. And we won't have, at least the society won't be recognizable. You know, just like you see in all these different religions, is, let's say if Jesus Christ came back, would he recognize the way the church is? He said, well, he probably wouldn't join the Catholic Church. And would Muhammad join the Muslims? I don't know. Probably not. Probably not. Would Buddha join as Buddhists? Where they're eating meat and everything, and even some prominent Buddhist leaders are eating meat, you know, cows and everything like that. I don't think so. But that didn't happen first generation after Buddha. It happened after two, three, four, five generations. So we have to plan for the future how to keep this disciplic succession intact. All right. Any questions or comments? Keep it short. But actually important points. They're being made by everybody. Yeah. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. We got a lot of people. 16 people watching. More people online than in person. So we're here in Sydney, Australia at Amritash and Sunetra's house with all their wonderful children. Three for the price of one. And so we'll be here for the next 12 days or something like that. And giving class every morning. So thank you all for joining us. Actually, let them see everybody. And there'll be more people in the next few days because the children go on vacation next week. So there'll be more fun next week. Okay. Haribol.